guest today is Alan Stevens. How you doing, Alan?
Dave, I'm doing great.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
What do you want to talk about?
Today I want to talk about real software development.
Real software development, what's that?
Real is an acronym that I coined recently, which to me means real enterprise application lifecycle development. Because people pay me to write software, I'm a consultant, and I also do a lot of speaking, so there's a dissonance between what I do and what I say, because I and my peers in the speaking circuit talk about modern, newly released technologies, and people pay me to work with what's actually out there running in production.
Is that a problem?
Yes and no. Let's say that one of my clients sends their developers to a conference, mm-hmm. right? So these developers are let's say, working against an Oracle database that they have no control of,
yep.
Managed by DBAs, through stored procedures, and they are simply trying their best to survive and get what they need in their application from this external system that they have no control of. And they come to a conference and they hear people talking, debating whether you should use Entity Framework as your ORM, or you should use in Hibernate, or you should use a micro ORM.
Okay, when, so ORM is an object relational mapper.
Right, an object relational mapper. So a way of accessing your database from within your application
right.
that has no bearing on their life whatsoever.
All right, so you're saying we're doing a disservice to those guys that are actually out in the trenches doing real work by not addressing them in places like this conference or that conference.
Right, yeah. Right. So right, we're at a conference right now where there's a lot of great speakers talking about a lot of great topics, but whatever they're talking about is not what I actually get hired to do. What I get hired to do is to go in these applications and try to break up the log jams, mm-hmm. Try to remove some friction here and there, and I have a bag of tricks that I've collected over the years of how to solve certain problems in certain ways, and I go in and I do that. I don't go in and implement Entity Framework. I've had one application on Entity Framework because it was the one greenfield application I've done in the last 4 years.
There's a lot more code maintenance out there.
Exactly.
Than there is new code development.
Right. And companies are conservative with their resources, mm-hmm. and so they're not going to jump on the latest thing. Whether their platform is Microsoft or Oracle or anything else, they're going to be conservative, never get the latest release. So the developers are working on, generally at least one generation, sometimes two generations behind on, say, a version of their runtime, like the .NET framework,
sure.
or a version of their tooling, like Visual Studio. And so I have a bag of tricks of going in. If you're on .NET 1.1, I know I can do this and that and the other. If you're on 2.0, oh good, I have generics, we can do this. Mm-hmm. You know, and then if they're up to 3.0 or 3.5, whenever Link came out, mm-hmm. I have a whole set of extension methods and things that I can do to help people's lives, make it better, make it smoother, remove duplication. And I do a lot of that. That's what I'm paid to do because that's where the problems lie for most developers, not all, but most developers, I believe. The people in the middle of the bell curve,
right.
you know, those guys are and gals are not in control of every aspect of their development. So I go in and I try to empower them to take some control of what they're actually working on.
Sure. So I think I can speak to this. So I am a producer of this content you're talking about, the conference content. I sometimes
right.
speak. And I'm also a consumer. I mm-hmm. sit in these talks and I listen to it. Are you saying that conferences like this are just not addressing those needs? They're not even talking about what those guys needed to get their job done. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Yes, I'm not putting down what the content is. The content's out there is good,
okay.
but I don't think it goes far enough because, as speakers, why do we want to talk about that stuff? There's this cool thing we just learned about that's really awesome. And,
sure.
here at that conference, I've learned about tons of things that mm-hmm. I'm going to go home and investigate on my own time. But I feel like it would be a useful service for me to go out and talk to people about, here's how I deal with stored procedures to reduce friction and increase maintainability and cope with the limitations of that environment. I've never seen that talk given.
Ah, okay.
You know, all the examples I see are just stock documentation of here's how you create a command and connect to stored procedures and all this. And I have a whole stack of things that I use to make that very easy and fluid and not be a bottleneck in my development.
Yeah, so maybe those talks were actually given a few years ago
mm-hmm.
when stored procedures was the new shiny thing that
mm-hmm.
all the speakers were excited about, and now they've sort of forgotten about it, and now they're focused on what interests them as opposed to what's
right. And all the code that was written a few years ago when people were talking about that is still running today.
Okay.
And people are still having to maintain it and cope with it and extend it. And once you set that pattern that we use stored procedures for all data access or whatever your pattern is, that doesn't necessarily change. So the new development is done the same way it was done a few years ago. And, you know, it's easy to say, oh, you should do it better or do it modern or whatever, but the most developers don't have that kind of control of their environment. Mm-hmm. So what I've been thinking about is I've kind of cleaned up my libraries and stuff that I use for public consumption. I put them together in a Visual Studio solution, and then I want to build a couple of example applications and, you know, put them in a Git repo with branches at various versions, right? So start with the messed up code, not messed up, just basically real world code that you come in and you want to work with, and show them step by step how I can clean this up. Huh. And then you know, turn that into a couple of talks, like you know, real .NET development with stored procedures, and just show them all of the stuff I do on stored procedures, real .NET development with ASP.NET. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, there's a lot of anti-patterns that are out there, and that stuff's still running. And oftentimes the people, you know, companies want to keep their costs low, so they don't hire you or I, right? So they hire guys that know enough, and they're well-intentioned, and they're doing their very best, and they figured out one way to do something, and so they just do that over and over again, and you end up with tons of duplication in the code.
Yep.
And so I want to show how I go in and clean up how they bootstrap their app and that sort of thing, show them how to compose objects, because, you know, just because you're on web forms doesn't mean you can't build good applications.
Web forms is a good example. I think 80% of the world is still on web forms, yeah. And yet the conference topics, MVC dominates that. They dominate the magazine articles.
Right. And I tell you, a few years ago, I had a contract for 9 months with a Fortune 100 company on a web forms app in VB7. In Visual Studio 2003, and it was talking to an Oracle database through stored procedures. And in that application, I managed to refactor the code so that I was using a model view presenter architecture, so all of my logic for the view was in the presenter, and I was able to wrap that in unit tests that ran on InUnit, and I was able to do inversion of control and dependency injection using the Windsor container, all on this old technology.
Yeah.
I built good software, I built testable, solid, maintainable software using all these old technologies, and I think that has critical value for this kind of silent majority of developers, the ones that I actually work with and get paid to deal with their code.
Right, right. I think you're right in a sense. I do run into this, arrogance is sort of a strong word, but people that get caught up in doing things the newer way, maybe using MVC, maybe using newer technologies, they forget that there's a lot of really good software out there that mm-hmm. was written using old technology. And I've been in projects where, boy, I really wish they had done this better, and I can help them do some things better, but the business problems they solved them.
Yes.
They solved them with the tools that they had. So I want to, you were talking about this on Twitter the other day as well. A lot of people jumped in on this. And I think I'm hearing that this is kind of not just you, that maybe it's a call to action, because Twitter is such a public forum.
Yes.
And you'd like to see other people doing something. Tell me what this call to action is.
Well, yes. So I'm really trying to put my money where my mouth is, right? And say, I see this need. I see this overlooked audience, right? Because I don't think it's necessarily arrogance. It's just kind of boredom. We don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, that's probably the wrong word, but you see where I'm going with
that. Oh, I absolutely do. And so I'm trying to call us out and as a community of speakers and educators and technical leaders, whatever your role is in the community and in your organization, to say, let's not just get infatuated with the latest and greatest stuff. I mean, I'm going to stay infatuated. I'm going to continue to learn about new stuff, but also talk about the actual apps that are out there. Are you familiar with a book by Michael Feathers, Dealing Effectively with Legacy Code?
I've heard of it. I've never known.
Okay, well,
I happen to know that on the other side of this wall right here, Phil Japixi is talking about that book right now.
Is he? Excellent. Okay, so when I first read that book 5 or 6 years ago, just the first chapter or two was so reassuring, because he was talking about the real world that I get paid to work and write software in every day. And I want to be an example of that, right? So I want to say, hey, let me see if I can help more people by talking about what they're actually doing rather than about what is most interesting to me.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. So if we're focusing Yeah, if we all shift our focus to some of the more practical things, which sort of implies more legacy stuff, does that mean we could ignore the shiny new stuff?
I don't think we necessarily need to ignore it. Here's the way I'm very much a breadth person in technology. So I like to be aware of everything that's out there. And if something really catches my fancy, I'll learn it more in depth. So I don't think we should ignore it, but we shouldn't focus on it like it's significant yet.
Okay.
Right? It's not impacting anybody's bottom line. You said something earlier. You said there's a lot of good software. And you and I, our aesthetics of looking at the code of the software, we might not think it's good software, but it's good software because it is solving problems for people and helping to make money that is feeding families every day.
Yep.
It's good software. And so I think we need to kind of check ourselves and say, hey, what is really going on in software development versus what we wish? We all wish we worked at GitHub or Fog Creek or, you know, these are awesome companies where developers have a lot more control and power, and they use a lot of great technologies, but the majority of us don't. You know, I'm an independent consultant, and I work for real companies that solve real problems, and I have learned to be pretty sympathetic and just walk in and not go, oh, your code is junk, and say, here, I can help you make it better.
No, I totally agree with that. I have encountered this. This is arrogance. Mm-hmm. The you're doing it wrong,
right,
consultant.
Yes.
And that's just silly, because they're not doing it. There are things they're doing right. There's a lot they're doing right.
Exactly. Yeah.
If we can help them, we can help. You know, there are everybody's got areas of improvement. But they'll be a lot more receptive to that if we just acknowledge that one fact.
Absolutely. And I come from a background in Visual FoxPro. And
FoxPro rocks.
Yeah. But people tease me about that, and I'm like, I could write apps today in FoxPro faster and better than you do in .NET. It's not really about the platform. It's about design. It's about understanding the business problem. It's about being able to put the pieces together in the right way. And you can do that in Perl, you can do that in Fortran, or you can do that in, you know, JavaScript on Node.js, you know, which is an example of kind of the leading edge right now. It really doesn't matter what that platform is. You know, you've heard the saying, you can write Fortran in any language, right? It doesn't matter how shiny your tools are, you can write really bad software in it. So I want to show people that no matter what their tools are, they can write really good software. Good in that it solves problems for people, good that it is maintainable, good that it's testable, good that it can change in unexpected ways. Because that's when they hire us, right? Is their software hits a wall, mm-hmm. and they need to change it in some way, and they don't know how to do that. And we come and break the logjam,
right?
And then set them up. We show them how to do this and not get in that situation again, and then we move on. And that's the bag of tricks. So I want to share my bag of tricks with people, you know, that don't have to pay my consulting rate.
No, I like that. You're not ripping out everything that they've done. You're building on top of it, working within the framework of what they've got already in place.
Yeah.
Are you still blogging?
No, not really.
You should blog about this.
I know, this would be a great topic for blogs if I could sit down and write. And really, that's my goal is I would like to have a GitHub repository with all this stuff, mm-hmm. and an explanation either in the wiki or in blog links where people can take that code and understand how to use it and where each piece applies.
Okay, so right now I think the best place to find you online is Twitter.
Yes. Yeah. Twitter.com/AlanStevens, AlanStevens.
Any final thoughts?
My final thoughts are we're all going to die, so let's make the most of each breath.
Alan, thank you so much.
My pleasure, Dave. Technology and Friends, the twain shall never meet.